I got a picture that's going to come up here. I want you to see if you can guess who this is. You know who that is? Now, it's probably not somebody from 2024, right? It just doesn't seem like a picture that we would be taking in 2024. But here's a guy. The guy's name is John Sheldon. John Sheldon from 1584 to 1654. You can push the button. He was as a lawyer and a politician and an antiquarian, he was considered an expert on the ancient laws of England. His advice was sought on the manners of legal and moral problems, all the way from tithes to cross-dressing. I found that very interesting in the 1600s, that they needed insight on those tithing and cross-dressing. This guy was a brainiac. This guy was one who understood the society and understood the moral law and understood the law. And people would seek him out to get advice from him on something as daily as the things that we see on the each day. They would have something, and he would have advice on that. He actually wrote a book called Table Talk. And Table Talk was his book where he wrote much of his thoughts on that. We could say his opinions, but his thinking on different aspects of life. And you may know one of the phrases that's credited to him, and it's this phrase. You can push the button. Do as I say, not as I do. That was credited to John Sheldon. He wrote that in his book, Table Talk. He wrote that, do as I say, not as I do. And then we know that the meaning of that is, do not imitate my behavior, but obey my instructions. That's really what that means. But really, the full quote is this. You can push the button. The preachers say, this is the full quote. Preachers say, do as I say, not as I do. I was appalled at that. And I, for one, hopefully that I don't have to ever quote that, say, just do what I say, not what I'm doing. Just don't look at my life. Just do as I say, not as I do. That's a horrendous for anyone. But can you imagine anyone up here as a believer in Jesus Christ, any believer in Jesus Christ, anyone who's interacting with coworkers, anyone who walks with Jesus, anyone who claims to have faith in Jesus, that's on your shirt, let alone the preacher. Paul says this in Thessalonians. You became imitators of us. That's the exact opposite. You became imitators of us. You mimicked us. You did what we were doing. Not only what we were doing, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. You looked like Jesus. And you looked like us because we looked like Jesus. No, we're not going to say do as I say and not as I do. They became imitators of Paul, imitators of Timothy, imitators of those in their body of believers and of Jesus. They modeled their life after these individuals and after Jesus. In spite of severe sufferings, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Not only, you people were looking at you. You became models, not just prophets or just someone who's saying something. You became a model. People were looking at you. You didn't have to wear the shirt, do as I say, not as I do, because you were doing it and people were looking at it and they were doing it. You became a model to other believers in Macedonia and Achaia. You imitated us and Jesus, and then others started to imitate you. You became a model to what it looks like to walk in faith in your culture, to walk with faith in your time, to walk with faith in your space in history. You became a model of what that looks like to walk with Jesus in your day and age. And we could say, well, they had it easier than we have it. No, they didn't. You can study the history. They didn't have it easy. As a matter of fact, it says, even though the severe suffering, in spite of that suffering, you welcomed the message. And you welcomed it so much that other people wanted to know about that. Look what it says in verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Wow. You became imitators of us and imitators of Jesus. And the people in your own community, are you become a model of what it looks like to walk with Jesus in your day and age. And not only that, now people, it's the ripple effect. People around the country, people around the world are starting to see this is what it looks like to walk with Jesus in our culture. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols and to serve the living and true God. Woo! This is one of those woo moments I wish I was back outside when the mountain would give me an amen. Or a horn. I kind of miss the horns. You know, I think you're a little more bold with the horns. And maybe we'll have the seats install the horns just so you can, not one of those zinga, 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 or bicycles. We're talking some horns. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Your actions. Not do as I say, not as I do, but I'm doing it. I'm going to live out this life. I'm going to live as a man or a woman of faith. I'm going to live no matter what it costs me. I'm going to live out loud. And I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not carrying around a stick to beat other people and say, come into line. I'm going to live my life like Jesus lived his life. And it becomes the model. You can imitate it. The model to other believers and other people around the world. And I got to ask this question to us. Push the button. Is the Lord's message ringing out from us? Is the Lord's message ringing out from you? Is your faith so evident that people take notice that you are different? There's something different about that guy. And you know what? And I don't think that the answer for everyone in the room is going to be, no, that's not happening. Because some of you, it's happening. So you can be convicted over this and say, you know what? I want my faith. But you can be affirmed over this saying, no, I am living out my faith. I'm starting to live out my faith. It's different than I used to be. And I'm not gonna look backwards anymore. Forgetting what is behind, I strive forward to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. I'm done being, oh, poor is me. Or I'm done being, I failed yesterday. I'm done with that. I'm walking it out today. Some of you are doing that. Some of us may be still trying to play the game. Does your life reflect that you are serving the living God? When people see you or even hear your name, do they think about the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control that runs off of you? What's the first thing people say, think about you when they see you? Man, that guy loves Jesus. He's so stinking full of love. I can't hardly stand him at times. He's always whistling something. He's always got time for me. He's always so gentle. And he's faithful. Man, look at his family. He's so faithful to his family. What's wrong with that guy? His boss can count on him. His wife can count on him. His kids can count on him. He loves his community. What do people think about me and you when when they hear our name or see us coming. And then I ask myself, do I want that to be what people think about me? Do I want the Lord's message to ring true from me? Do I want my faith to be so evident that people notice I'm different? Do I want my life to reflect that I am now serving a living, true God? Do I want that? As Cheryl will often say in our house, Lord, sanctify my want to. But I ask myself this over and over this week. Do I want my faith to look like the faith that someone can imitate? Do you want your faith to be something that your kids, if they pick up hook, line, and sinker what you're doing right now, are you going to be okay with that? And if you're saying, yeah, but this and this and this, then work on the this and this and this. Let Jesus do something. Can they imitate us? Or are we going to say, do as I say, not as I do? John 16, Jesus says this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. I've got this life for you, but it's more than you can eat in one setting. I got this giant chocolate chip cookie for you. It's all for you. But you can't eat it all at once. And somebody say, well, give me that thing. Let me try. And Jesus said, I'm not saying you can't cram it all into your soul at once, but you're not going to enjoy it. I got much more than what you can handle in one setting. I want your life to be that way too. I want your life to be giving evidence that you are serving the true and living God. And I got a whole cookie for you. Piece by piece by piece by piece by piece, as you would consume this cookie, it's going to transform your life. But I can't give it to you all at once. Your mom would kill me. But look what he goes on to say. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You know what the Spirit of truth does? The Spirit of truth does this. He takes this. Oh. You know what the Spirit of truth does? He says, and see, I know I have to give this to a kid because some of you adults will be way too prim and proper to take it. You might get chocolate on your outfit. Yeah, Silas doesn't care. Yeah. And he says, Jesus said, I got a whole cookie for you, but you're going to have to trust that I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. When he comes, he's going to guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what's yet to come, because I got a whole cookie for you, but you can't eat it all to once. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to divvy up that cookie in your life. And you just got to continue to eat the cookie. It's all for me, Jesus said. It's all. I paid for it all. But you can't eat the whole cookie at once. You can't get enough on Sunday. You can't get enough one day a week. The Holy Spirit's going to come, Jesus said, and he's going to take my cookie that I baked for you, that I purchased for you, that I got for you, and he's going to cut it up into pieces, and he's going to deliver it to you piece by piece by piece by piece. Because I want you to have the whole cookie. I want you to have the whole thing. I want you to eat the whole thing. How about it, Kyle? See, I'm stepping up. All right? No problem. 20-year-old college student. He's half starving to death anyway. Some of you would take that and you'd fold it all up in the napkin and you'd put it in your pocket or you'd put it in your purse. And Jesus said, you know what? I cooked that for this service. I want you to eat it. Will you let the Holy Spirit divide up what Jesus wants to give you? Because this is the reality. There's no, push the button, there is no, He will bring glory to me by taking from He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He's going to bring glory to me by taking what is mine and giving it to you. He's going to do that. He's going to take what is mine and He's going to give it to you. He's going to make it known to you. All that belongs to the Father, just so you know, Jesus said, I just need to get the fine print in here. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you, because I got it all. You want your life to reflect that you're serving the true and living God? Jesus says, I do too. And you need to eat up. And the Holy Spirit's going to cut that up in pieces for you. And He's going to give things to you day, by moment, by one scripture, by one song, by one text from someone else, by one silent prayer that you're speaking out in your own darkness at times. And He's going to feed you over and over and over and over. Jesus says, I got it all. All that the Father has is mine. And it's all in that cookie for you. And I will continue to cut the cookie. The Holy Spirit will continue to cut the cookie and deliver it to you. For crying out loud, Bill, eat it. Or give it to Elaine. She's not going to eat it either, are you? Let me read it in taking out the he's. I like to read it this way this week. But when Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, Holy Spirit will guide you into truth, onto all truth. Holy Spirit will not speak on His own. Holy Spirit will speak only what Holy Spirit hears. The Holy Spirit will tell you what is yet to come. Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. And just so you know, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So just let me just make it real clear. Push the button. Push it again. No Lord's message ringing out from you. No faith that people notice. No life reflecting that you are serving the living God. No guided by truth and no more of God without the Holy Spirit. That's a reality. I don't know what else the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life, and maybe you're scared of having the Holy Spirit just kind of come over you and saturate you, but I'm telling you what He will do, He'll do that right there. He'll make the message ring out from you. Why? Because He's going to cut this cookie that Jesus already paid for, that the Father supplied all of the ingredients for, and He's going to cut this cookie, and He's going to deliver it to you. He's going to deliver it to you. How about it? Am I making sense today? First Corinthians 3:16 says this, don't you know? Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you? He's talking to believers in Jesus Christ. The people that have the ability to have their faith be evident that they are serving the true and living God. That the Lord's message can ring out from them. Don't you know that you're never going to have that without the Holy Spirit? Oh, don't you know you already have the Holy Spirit? That you have become, when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that He's already on board with you? You just got to let Him get you the cookie. You just got to let Him divide up what Jesus has for you, and you continue to eat it and eat it and eat it. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer, giving power and life and direction. No wonder Paul tells the church later on in Thessalonians this. Push the button. Tells them this. Please do not put out the Spirit's fire. You know what happens when you put out the Spirit's fire? You get no cookie. Please don't put out the Spirit's fire. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Give me this cookie. I'm half afraid to give it to some of you. I'm wondering if you would say, no, thank you. And the Spirit's wondering the same thing. No, I got gum in right now. There's a good excuse. For crying out loud, it's a cookie. Spit the gum out. Was that your problem, Bill? He ate it. See, it's more fun to give it to people who... Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Give me some of that, Franklin. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You just made something come alive in my life. Thank you. Man, that was Jesus' cookie. He just made it come alive in my life. Man, that tastes sweet. Man, I love those chocolate chips. I'm telling you what, I bought the chocolate chips for that. I didn't bake it, but I bought them. Ain't no generic chocolate chips in that, baby. I'm telling you right now. Please don't grieve the Spirit. All He wants to do is give you a cookie. All He wants you to do is have everything that Jesus wants you to have in your life. All He wants to do is have your life be evident that you are serving the true and living God. All He wants to do is let other people know what it looks like in 2024 to walk with Jesus, and He's going to do that through you. All I want you to do is eat the cookie. And then we finally come to Acts. Put it back to Acts. You always resist the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You always pull against Him. You're like a dog that's not leash trained. I watch people walk by our house. They walk where their dog wants them to walk. And the Spirit says, you know what? You're trying to do that. Why do you do that? Why do you try to pull me? Why don't you let me guide you? I'll go with you because you are the temple. But why? There's no cookies over there. I know where the cookies are. I know where Jesus wants you to have. And why don't you let me guide you? Why don't you let me take you where the cookies are? Why don't you let me take you where the whole gamut of what Jesus has for you? Why don't you let me take you there? Don't be afraid of the cookie. Please don't be afraid of the cookie. The cookie is going to set you on fire. The cookie is going to give evidence that you serve a true and living God. The cookie is going to make people wonder, what in the world? I want some of that. And you just simply got to say, you got to eat the cookie. So bake some chocolate chip cookies. Take them to work tomorrow. Put a big J on the cookies and icing. And people say, why do you put the J on it? Because they're Jesus cookies. No, thank you. A simple J out of frosting, and you tell people that with a little sign, they won't eat them. You say, man, you guys got to eat the cookie. Yeah, I heard about drinking Kool-Aid one time, too. Don't resist it. Don't put out His fire. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Lord's message ringing out from you. Faith that people notice. Life reflecting that you are serving the living God, guided by truth and more of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. You can push the button, probably a couple. There you go. However, as is written, you hear me say this often. No eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love Him. You know what the boop, boop
is right there?
Cookie. It's theologically correct. You can argue with the theologians. Those two little dots are two cookies. Eat the cookies. But, eat some cookie. But God has revealed it to us by His Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Oh, baby. Don't worry, whatever I have, you can't catch. They told me that. So. The deep things of God. I want you to know the deep things of God, the Holy Spirit says. And I know the deep things of God. And I want you to know the deep things of God. Let me give you the cookie. Because there's a deep thing of God in that cookie. Because the Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. And He wants to give you the deep things of God. And when we begin to understand the deep things of God, the deeper and deeper and deep things of God, all of a sudden our lives are starting to reflect that we're serving the true and living God. Ephesians 1 and 17 says this, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? Why does He want him to have that? So that you may know Him better. That's what He wants to do. He just says that the spirit of revelation, the Spirit is going to give you wisdom and revelation. And not only are you going to know the deep things of God, you're going to know God Himself. You know, I can know the deep things of some things, but the deep things of God, and then God Himself. Not just about God, but God Himself. You a cookie eater? You're a Muslim and you've got to eat cookies. Come on. Take a bite, Graham. Show them they can trust it. Take a bite. Three generations sitting in the same row together. And the oldest generation just said, you can trust the cookie from God. Because I know I've walked with God years and years, and I know His faithfulness. And she wants her son and daughter-in-law and grandsons to know that they can trust the living God. Powerful. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of things. You know, I get so cranky when I forget something. Somebody said, well, that's just age. The Holy Spirit says, you know what? I'm gonna help you remember things. I can't remember that verse. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you just ask me? I know it. I know the deep things of God. Don't you think I know that verse? There's only 31,104 verses in the Bible. I got them, He said. Which one do you want to remember? But we read them over and over and over. Do we ever just say, Holy Spirit, I know You're inside of me because I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I'm God's temple. And I don't know if I can remember this verse or not, and I'm going to remember this verse. Can You help me? That verse says He will. Why? Because He don't want you to forget. Because He don't want the goldfish syndrome to wash over your brain. You know why you can put a goldfish in a bowl and He's happy? Because He has like a 2-second memory. Woo, there's a door. Woo, where'd that door come from? Woo, there's another door. It's the same door. He said, I want to give you a memory like you can't believe. Because what Jesus is doing in your life, He's building on and he's building on and he's building on and he's building on. And I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget what he built on yesterday. And some of you are eating much wiser and you're trimming down. You know, I thought about you too. And so, he tailors it to everybody's needs. You better eat that. Peer pressure. Is that right? He said, I know, and I so reward you for doing what you're doing, but I'll cut it in pieces that it won't make you lose something. I'll cut it in pieces that'll help you thrive in life. I'm going to help you know the deep things of God. I'm going to help you know God better. I'm going to remind you of things that we learned yesterday. Acts 1 and 8 says this. You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he says, you know what? I just want to give you some power. You know, I know that life isn't easy right now. And all I want to do is breathe power into you. So that you can get up and you can walk. So you can do the next right thing. So you can know that I'm here and I'm with you. And I have never forsaken you. And I will never leave you behind. And you're more valuable to me than you will ever know. Know the power. It's in the cookie. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and true righteousness as well in judgment. If you don't mind, I'm just going to pick that one right out and maybe we'll address that next week. Because that's powerful. And he said, I want to give you a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, there are different gifts, but one Spirit. I want to give you a gift. Like you cannot imagine the gift that I'm going to give you. I want to give you a gift so powerful and so much from me. And I want you to know that it's from me. And when you exercise that gift, the whole world's going to know, starting with those closest to you, that you're serving the true and living God. No doubt. There'll be no doubt. So it says this. I think I have a couple more slides if that tells you where I'm at with this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Or no cookie. Ephesians 5 and 18 says this. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to more lostness, debauchery. Instead, be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one who takes Jesus' cookie and delivers it to you. So we sing this song. Push the button. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. I just added a couple of different words. Push the button again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood my life and fill my atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, is what my heart longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Is that your prayer this morning? Will you let God sort out the details? I don't know if I like chocolate chip cookies. Then he'll give you molasses. But he's got a new life. He's got a cookie for us. And it's going to be evident that you now serve the true and living God. No more do as I say. Do as I say, not as I do. You can imitate me because I'm walking it out with God. Because I'm eating the cookie from Jesus, delivered to me by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood my life, because there ain't no preacher going to say, do as I say, not as I do, not on this pulpit. So come, start with me. Flood my, you are welcome here, flood my life and fill my atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, is what my heart longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. How about a new life? Father, I thank you so much for these moments together. Father, you heard us. Come flood my atmosphere. Your glory is what I long for. Your presence is what I long for. The cookie from Jesus through the Holy Spirit is what I long for. So that my life will be reflective, bring honor and glory to you. But my life will be reflective of I serve a living, the living and true God. Father, thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.